It's 12:07. This is Midday Matters, Outer Spaces on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this rather rainy Thursday afternoon. Thanks very much for being with us. With me in studio, of course, one of the usual suspects, Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist. Doug, how you doing today?
Great, Sean. You know, people ask for rain. They're getting it today.
They certainly are, although we've been calling for it. The National Weather Service has been calling for it the last few days, and we hadn't really gotten what we expected.
You know, when I was on the show last week, I said my prediction is it's going to rain on Tuesday. I didn't care what they said. Tuesday was my prediction. Okay, I was right. It didn't rain all those other days, but It didn't rain Tuesday. It waited till Wednesday before we actually got any kind of a shower. But interestingly enough, it didn't rain all those other days. And
Close only counts in horseshoes.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, and then of course today's Thursday, and we're getting plenty of it on and off today, And the weather's cooled down.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, we were touching the 90s there just a few days ago. So this is a bit of a nice relief. Doug's with us for the hour to take your plant and garden questions. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about what you should plant, or if you're having questions or problems with your outer spaces, we can try to tackle those as well. And we'd love to know what's going on in your backyard. Any major success stories so far this year? Share them with us. Maybe we can learn a thing or two. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Doug, thanks again for being with us. What's got you going in the last few weeks now? I know you've been busy with all the Mother's Day things and all that. What are you working on now? What are folks starting to focus on?
Well,
at this
season? they're trying to finish up their gardening. We're seeing the slowdown already. Mm-hmm. It seems a little early because usually it happens right after Memorial Day weekend, and Memorial Day weekend is coming up this week, but The funny thing is Memorial Day weekend is so early this year that you would think maybe the slowdown wouldn't happen definitely until after, and yet we're starting to see it already. People have their gardens planted.
That's good news, right?
Well, it is good news. I'm happy for them. I really am. Interesting thing, what I'm working on myself is my own patio, which I posted a Facebook page on, and we can talk about that plant in a few minutes. But the thing that's funny is I have this nice patio area, and for the last couple of years I'm like the plumber who has leaky pipes. I have a patio area and I put no plants out for the last couple of years. Oh. I just hadn't gotten around to it, and then it gets hot. You understand all of that stuff.
Sure.
But this year I started putting plants out, and my wife was saying to me, she says, for the last couple of years the patio looked boring. And so I put these plants out. Now she says, well, you know, all these plants, it's going to be more watering for you, and it's going to cause bees to come around and whatnot. And I said, yeah, but it's not boring. It looks nice. When I look out the window now and I see all of these clusters of potted plants and things, it looks beautiful, and it's much more exciting.
Well, it's that's a big part of the reward of gardening. Just the reward from doing it, but most of the times it looks fantastic.
Well,
in your
backyard. Doesn't take 10 minutes to water the stuff. You know, the hose is there handy. And so it's quite easy to do.
We want to hear from you, our listeners, today. If you have a question or comment about your outer spaces, maybe you want to share a story with us, or you just want to let us know what's going on in your backyard, we'd really love to hear from you. Call us, 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Currently no questions in the queue, so if you give us a call, we'll get you right through.
Yep. And you know, an interesting tidbit about the rainy weather today, a gentleman and his kids came in, and I said to the kids, why aren't you in school? Well, we're homeschooled. Okay, so they're shopping around, and it's raining. And eventually when they're through shopping, I came back and I saw the kids, and I said, so tell me, you're homeschooled, so let's see what you learned today. What did you learn today about outdoor plants? And they sort of looked at each other and thought, I don't know. I said, that they're outdoors. in the rain. I think you learned it real fast because they're out chopping in the rain, and it's wet out there. There's no doubt about it.
It looks like we have our first caller on the line. And, of course, if you want to join the conversation, please do. We'd love to have you at 800-471-9264. Let's open the phones and go to, I believe it's Lynn. Lynn, did I get your name right there?
Yes, you did.
Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling us today.
My question is, I have a Norway maple in our yard, and this winter, or this spring, it actually, the buds came out on it a little bit, you know, or puts a little seed out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then what buds were there, the branches, a lot of them died, or looked dead. And it looks like all the inner branches, the tree's probably maybe 15 or 18 years old, or about maybe 10-inch base. Seems like it's been healthy up until now, but some of the branches are completely dead, and then most of the branches, just the very outside of them, have leaves on them now.
But it's
you know if there was some kind of a disease we need to be looking at?
A Norway maple.
There?
A Norway maple. Yeah.
I had a woman call me earlier, maybe it was a man, I don't remember, a couple of weeks ago, about the same similar problem with her maple, where she said the branches were all dying out on the tips. And I thought, man, there's just no reason for it other than that last cold weather we had where it dipped down to 28 degrees. It normally a tree like a maple could tolerate that sort of thing, and the large maples around my place can. But I looked at the maples over the last week or so, and I see where, you know, they make the helicopters that fall to the ground, you know, they spin around and fall off. And I look at the maples and I think, man, when you look at the tree, it's all brown because of all the millions of helicopters that's hanging under. Now, I'm sure that's not your problem. That's not what you're describing. But I looked at that maple tree that was in the neighbor's yard and I thought, man, I can see where someone might think the plant was dying because all I see is brown.
Hmm.
Once those helicopters fall off, and this rain will help that happen, I should think that everything should leaf up, green up, and be fine. If you really do have dead branches, though, the only thing you can do is cut them off. You need to go in and do some pruning, cut off anything that's dead for sure, and then help to promote what's alive. And by cutting the branches off, you will help the tree. Because if you don't cut them off, the tree will always try to fix the problem. And sometimes the best problem is to remove the problem. And that's usually the case. So other than that, I don't have any magic answer for you.
If the problem persists, Doug, I mean, would you recommend maybe getting in touch with the extension office or an arborist?
Right. The Purdue Extension Office would be the great, great place to start out there on Crescent Avenue. Right by the college. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Good luck, and thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 800-471-9264 is the number to call if you have a question or comment. Maybe you want to share a story about your outer spaces. We'd love to hear from you. Let's open the phones here. We've got a few more callers on the line. We'll go to Janet. Janet, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
The first one is about a rhododendron plant that I put into the ground last spring.
Uh-huh.
This spring, it has several leaves on it that are white on about half of it. Then it will be brown, and then up near the stem, it's green. So I have no idea what this is, whether it's a fungus. The white area will peel off in kind of like a sheet. There's no powder or anything like that. Overall, the plant it's not looking real healthy. I wondered, was this some kind of frost damage? Because probably not, since it's just, you know, sparse areas. It's not over the whole plant.
Yeah, yeah. And my guess would have been mildew, but you say there's no powder.
No. Nope, there's nothing that looks powdery on any other part of the plant.
I can't imagine.
It's just here and there. It's not, you know, overall.
Yeah, I can't imagine what would be white that just peels off.
I don't know. It looks like it's been dipped in paint, although the backside isn't white.
Oh, no.
Dipped in paint and paint splotches is usually birds flying too close.
No,
nope,
it's not that.
But mildew is what I would have guessed. Normally, we don't fight mildew in a big way until after the peak of summer goes by, and then it starts to cool down again. Well, we've had summer, and now we've peaked, and we're back into spring again, and that's the kind of stuff that causes mildew. Very confusing for plants is a very good statement, because that is true. And mildew and that sort of thing can be a problem, and fungicides, I would say, could be quite a must at this time of year because of the problems that people are having. And you can buy them in a variety of ways. Granule, where you simply sprinkle them on the ground. I don't think it's very effective for mildew because the problem is actually on the leaves. So you really need to get something you can mix with water and spray. There's no insect that's doing what you described. So
they're not fungus, chewed at all.
Yeah, fungus is the answer, but is it powdery mildew or is it downy mildew? The big threat of downy mildew here the last couple of months, where people are all concerned about downy mildew getting on their impatience.
What does that look like?
Well, powdery mildew, everyone knows it's real flat and white, and if you bump the plant, spores fly. Yeah. Downy mildew is something that actually grows. It can grow upright a little bit. Of course, when you see it and it looks scary, I think that's usually magnification. So it might not be as crazy as they make it look.
Okay, well, I'll just cross my fingers and hope there's nothing major wrong with this plant.
Yeah, otherwise, fungicide would be the answer. And you can spray it on just about anything. Fungicides isn't a poison. I mean, it's not like insecticides, where so many of them are poisonous. Fungicides is just medicine for the plant. Fertilizer is not. Fungicide is.
And would a soap solution?
Soap would help. Soap would help to smother the fungus problem, and it wouldn't hurt. Now, when you get a plant wet, I always say don't get it wet at night. Always water in the daytime or early on. But when you use insecticides or fungicides, if you spray them on at night, they linger longer, and that's what you want. So in this case, at night would be the way to go.
Okay. Then I have another quick question. You mentioned a patio area that you hadn't done anything with last year.
Yeah.
I had a patio screen put around one side of my patio. With my plan was I was going to use that area as a vegetable garden, which I did last summer, but I realize my house faces the north. I get, east and west, good sun exposure. So half the day I didn't get good sun in this area. So I've given up on the vegetable garden. The tomatoes did okay, but, it's not a good area for a garden. So
well, they all need sun, for sure.
Now I have three. These are those big white vinyl pattern, fence sections. And it's a big white area.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need something that's going to be vertical. I thought if I can plant something, to the back of the area just to break the big white space.
Well, I think any of the topiary type patio plants would look good. There's mandevillas and hibiscus trees. If you buy the bushy ones, they're going to be too short. But if you buy they call them standards, which is the tree type. And it doesn't have to grow big. It just needs to be there to break it up, like you said. And those who are...
I know there's one of the knockout rose topiary trees.
There probably are, yes.
But then I worry because, I get all the wind from the west and snow piles up in that area in the winter.
Yes, I don't think I would worry a lot.
Okay.
Those things are tough. They can take just about anything. And the wind helps dry the foliage out so it doesn't get a fungus problem. And plus, knockout roses are considered disease-free. So, resistant, let's say. Nothing's disease-free.
I planted two at the back of my house last spring, and they did very well through the winter. So,
yeah, I think you'd have great luck with that. And a topiary, I'm beginning to believe that the topiary tree roses are much safer to grow than I once thought. And I mean, from winter damage, I think they're much hardier than I once thought. You know, there was all these ways of keeping them through the winter. I say put them out and just forget about them. I think they'll survive.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of great stories like that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Very much. So I'll keep listening.
All right. Thank you.
Janet, we appreciate
thank
the call.
Both.
Thank you very
bye-bye.
Much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
800-471-9264 is the number to call if you have a question or comment about your outer spaces. Doug Hackbarth will tackle those issues. We have another caller on the line here. Unfortunately, we need to take just a quick break. So, Roy, I hope you'll stay with us. In the meantime, get in touch. That number is wide open. You can always post on our Facebook wall. Send us a tweet at Midday Matters, or if you'd like to email us, it's middaymatters@nipr.fm. Stay with us, back in 2 minutes.
On the next Fresh Air, Julianne Moore. She plays an out-of-control rock star and mother in the midst of a custody battle in the new present-day film adaptation of What Maisie Knew. One of her co-stars is a 6-year-old girl.
I'd say, listen, I'm going to yell in this scene. I just want you to know I'll be like, I'll talk like this, and then I'm going to yell really loud, so don't be scared.
Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Jarrett Krasoska has published 20 books, and he always lets kids know they're authors too.
I don't look to the first book that was ever published as to where my career began. I look to the first book that I ever wrote. And the first book that I ever wrote, I wrote when I was a third grader.
NPR's Backseat Book Club, today on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4, here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, announcing this year's Spirit of Giving Award recipient, B.F. Goodrich, USW Local 715. That's what it means to live united. UnitedWayAllenCounty.org.
WBOI 1225, it's Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. This is the Outer Spaces edition of our program. So if you have a plant or garden question, Doug Hackbarth will tackle it. We'll do our best to get it resolved. Call us at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We have a few callers on the line, so let's open the phones and go to Roy. Roy, good afternoon. You're on the program.
I have a question on hello.
Go ahead, Roy. You're on, Roy.
I hear you.
I have a question on a maple. It's about 40 years old, I guess, now. And just noticed this morning that the leaves are kind of curled, and there's a black, looks like a fungal material on the green side of the leaves, and then it bleeds through to the light side on the bottom with just little spots.
And this is on your maple again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the whole tree, basically.
Yeah, I know that black spot seems to be tough this year. I had two peony plants, practically twins, and one of them was absolutely clean and green. The other one had the black spots. These are the black spots that get on rose bushes and occasionally will affect other plants. But it's a fungus type thing, a black spot, and those things are viral. They need to be treated. And all you can do is, these things are, these fungicides are preventative medicines. What that means is if you put them on before you have a problem, you prevent the problem. Once you have the problem, you can't fix it very well. You can prevent it from getting worse, but you can't fix what's there. So the problem now is it's there. And the only thing that Mother Nature will do to fix it is eventually it'll get hot and dry, and that solves the problem from spreading. You can help the problem from spreading by spraying with fungicides and also treating the ground with fungicides. There's granule fungicides. You can simply take a handful and sprinkle it around. Nothing could be easier than that. Sprays are a little more difficult because you got to mix them up, put them in a sprayer of some sort, and spray, whether it's a mist bottle, you know, the old Windex bottle. Never throw them away. You can use them for a lot of things. But it is a problem. And just soap and water helps.
Was the granule thing again?
Well, it's just a granule fungicide.
Okay.
You can buy granule fungicides, granule insecticides, granule fertilizers. But granules mostly treat the ground, and they can be absorbed by the root system and get to the plant. But only if they're systemic does it really work well that way. And if it's systemic, you cannot use it around anything that you eat.
Okay. So I got two options, it looks like. Spray is probably the best, huh?
Yeah, and if you get any leaves that are incredibly infected, you just need to remove them. But,
okay. Take them all off.
I know. Okay. It's just something you live with, I guess. I have this peony, and I'm thinking of actually taking it home, you know, even though it has the black spot on it. But I don't know. Sulfur. Sulfur is an organic fungicide that anyone could use. Sulfur can be used for a lot of things. It changes the pH of your soil. It does a lot of things. But it can be dusted on a plant to create a defense against spreading fungus diseases. It can be mixed with water and sprayed on. Then the water evaporates, and there's a thin layer of sulfur left on your plant. That prevents fungus from spreading and coming. So those sulfur is a great organic fungicide.
Well, we got a sulfur water in our well, but I don't think
it has to be gardening sulfur, as they call it, horticultural sulfur. Right?
Okay.
Yep.
Roy, we appreciate the call. Good luck and thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
All Thanks. Right. Bye-bye. 800-471-9264 is the number if you want to share your plant and garden questions or comments with us this hour. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet @middaymatters. We have two more callers on the line, both with the same name. So let's open the phones again and go to John. Can we call you John number one? Good afternoon.
Both of you speak. John, one of you will hear.
John, you're on the air. Are you with us?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah,
John.
Welcome to Midday Matters.
How are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I got a pine tree in the backyard, and it's been there for about 20 years. Last fall, it started losing all of its needles. And this year, it's nothing. Nothing's on it at all.
There's no needles left.
No.
Yeah. Well, this is a great example of a plant that you may have to replace. However, let me talk about the loss of needles. There's two things that can happen that cause needle loss. One of them is spider mites, or just some people just call them mites, and they're very microscopic. You can't hardly see them, but they can be on there really thick, and they will defoliate a pine tree. And of course, soap and water works, insecticides work, things like that. But you'd have to be on top of it to know that it's happening. The other one is bagworms, and there you just look around the tree for signs of a bagworm, and the signs are these little cone-shaped bags that hang from the tree branches, and they look like dried-up pine cones, but in fact they're bagworms. And if you have either of those problems and you have no needles left at all, I'd just dig the tree up and get rid of it.
Well, the reason I've been hanging on to it because my neighbor had two pine trees and his did the same thing last year. The year before, they lost all their needles, and this year he's got needles on them.
He's got them back, huh? Did you
talk
to your neighbor?
Yeah, so I just didn't know if he was going through a thing, if he was hibernating or going through a change.
No, it shouldn't drop all its needles. Did you talk to the neighbor, ask him if he did anything special?
No, I have.
I think you should. It's time to meet the neighbors.
well, they just moved in, and the people who previously lived there is the ones, you know, they
So this guy may not have done anything or even known there was a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if the pine tree was just sleeping or...
Yeah, that's generally what happens to them is the spider mites can really affect the needles on a pine tree. And it's a bad thing. But if you have no needles left, I normally would just say replace it. I can understand if the other guys came back with needles, but do you want to wait another year or two to see? I mean, I wouldn't. I'd just start over. I'd get rid of that, and I'd clean up the area real good. I wouldn't replace the soil. I would just clean it up. And maybe before I planted a new plant, I might spray with bleach and water the ground, and then, you know, it won't be enough to affect a new plant.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You bet.
John, thanks for the call. Have a great day.
Thanks. Y'all do the same.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let me give just some mixing ingredients for using bleach. If you're going to spray an area where plants are going to be immediately, you usually do 1 to 10, one part bleach to 10 parts water. If you're going to do an area that's been infected and you're going to plant a healthy perennial type tree, I think you could maybe up that to about 2 parts bleach to 10 parts water. So they're just, and if you're going to spray pots or dip pots in it, I would go with the 2 per 10, right?
We have one more caller on the line here before we just have to go to a break. Let's open the phones once more and go to John. John, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I took on the task of planting rose bushes this year in my garden, and I remembered growing up with them in California and how beautiful they were, so I went and got me some jumbo number ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering on basic, when should I fertilize them, how often to fertilize them, and when should I treat them for black spots, and they just are starting to bush now.
They're just bushing out now. Well, I would treat them for fungus problems like black spot and mildew. Right now, while the weather is wet and yucky, because that's what causes it to start. And then, as far as fertilizing goes, if you're getting some growth, I would use some fertilizer. If you want to be safe, use the slow-release granulated fertilizers. You can buy them for roses. They actually say it right on the bag for roses. I love it when these professional people tell you to go out and look for specific numbers like 10, 10, 10 or 10, 5, 10 or whatever. Forget all that nonsense. If it says roses on the bag, it's for roses. I don't care what the numbers are. It's for roses. And if you get one that has insecticide in it too, that's great because this is a slow release. It's very safe to use. You just sprinkle it on the ground. And it works slowly every time it rains. It works when you water. And it's safe. If you want to give it a booster shot of fertilizer, then you use something like Miracle-Gro or Plant Marvel or any of those kinds. Hyponix doesn't make any difference to me. If you have two kinds of fertilizer, you alternate. It doesn't matter what it says on there because all these fertilizers have a little bit different mixtures of inert ingredients. And I don't really mean inert. I mean the other ingredients, the small ones that you don't think about, like sulfur and things like that. They have minor bits in there, and you want to mix, just use different kinds each time you water, and that helps. And that's a booster shot. When you mix it with water and you pour it on with a bucket or a sprinkling can, but I would use both the slow-release granules and occasionally a booster shot. Every 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks, is enough also, but that's it. And do it while the weather's like this, cool and moist. When it gets hot and dry and drought, then I would be real cautious with the fertilizers. That's it.
Thank you much.
You bet.
John, have a great day. Thank you very much for the call. We do need to take a quick break here. In the meantime, we hope you'll get in touch with us at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. And of course, you can get in touch with us via social media as well. After the break, we have a question from Anita and a Facebook question from Jerry as well. We'll get to those in 4 minutes. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, Julianne Moore. She plays an out-of-control rock star and mother in the midst of a custody battle in the new present-day film adaptation of What Maisie Knew. One of her co-stars is a 6-year-old girl.
I'd say, listen, oh, I'm going to yell in this scene. I just want you to know I'll be like, I'll talk like this, and then I'm going to yell really loud, so don't be scared.
Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Indiana lawmakers are detailing their study plans for the summer ahead of their next session. The Indiana Legislative Council plans to meet Thursday morning to discuss which issues will be studied in the coming months. Some issues, including a review of the National Common Core Education Standards, have already been announced. Issues have run from the high profile to the mundane in past summers. Lawmakers took up the highly decisive right-to-work ban on union fees in the summer of 2011. An investigation of troubles at the state's Department of Child Services dominated much of last summer. A Northern Indiana school superintendent says most of the several dozen students hurt in a chain reaction crash involving 4 buses have been released from hospitals. Superintendent Tom Eddington says a Wawasee High School sophomore was transferred to a Fort Wayne hospital for further assessment, but her injuries were not believed to be serious. He says most students suffered bumps and bruises in Wednesday's crash near North Webster, while one student had a broken hand and another broke a collarbone. The most serious injury was to a bus driver who was flown by helicopter to Parkview Hospital in Fort Wayne. A hospital spokeswoman says he was in fair condition Thursday. Eddington says about 2/3 of the 125 students were evaluated by medical personnel on the scene or at hospitals. State police are warning Indiana residents to be wary of people seeking donations for tornado relief because scammers often try to profit after disasters. Police say people should be skeptical of those going door to door or making individual phone calls claiming to be collecting for tornado relief. They recommend that if you are contacted by someone asking for donations, ask questions to determine whether or not your contribution will actually go to tornado relief efforts. Police say people who suspect someone of trying to run a scam to get as much information as possible, such as a name, description of the person, and their vehicle and license number, and then to contact authorities. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps opened a 4-game series against South Bend yesterday morning at Parkview Field in a battle for second place. WBOY's Doug Gruber has the result.
The Tin Caps were just a half game behind the second place Silverhawks with the start of the 4-game series. However, 2 home runs in the first 3 innings gave South Bend an early lead, which they never surrendered. Tin Caps second baseman Max Tissenbaum drove in 2 runs for Fort Wayne, including his first home run of the season, but it wasn't enough. The Silverhawks downed the Tin Caps 4-2. The win drops Fort Wayne 1.5 games behind second place South Bend in the Eastern Division. The homestand continues tonight with the Tin Caps and the Silverhawks scheduled for a doubleheader. 2 7-inning games with the first game set to begin at 6:05. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
Taking a quick look at the WBOI weather forecast, expecting showers throughout the day, mostly cloudy skies with temperatures falling to about 53 by 5 p.m. Overnight, a chance of showers mainly before 7 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 40. On Friday, it looks like we'll see some sunshine with a high near 65, dropping down to about 42 on Friday night. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne, streaming online at nipr.fm. Now back to Midday Matters.
20 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters, Outer Spaces on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florists, and we're taking your plant and garden questions today. We hope you'll get in touch this hour, just 20 minutes to do so. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We've had a few questions come in via email and Facebook, and we have a caller on the line we'll get to in just a moment. First, though, Doug, a question, a pretty general question here from our friend Anita. Anita says, some critter dug up my bulbs and had a tasty snack. What the heck?
I'll tell you, when critters are hungry, they'll do it. Usually it's squirrels that do that.
And that was the title of her email.
Yeah,
squirrels.
Yeah, that's usually the culprit. And they're really incredibly tough to get rid of. But I did some research on them earlier in the week because I've had phone calls about them and that. And the one I liked the best was the solution of if you just can't get rid of them, it's kind of if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. Just feed them nuts and do it on the other side of the yard that they stay over there.
But, an alternate food source to keep them away from the stuff that you want.
Yeah, because
that
that's what they do. But that's generally what does it is squirrels. Hmm. And I don't know. I don't know why they dig them up. We think they're just burying nuts. And so usually garden soil is usually softer than regular areas.
Mm-hmm. Is fencing typically effective in keeping them out?
They claim that the fencing that keeps a bunny rabbit out will keep a squirrel out. I don't think anything keeps the squirrel out. They can climb anything. They can do it so fast you won't even see them do it. I just don't think you can keep them away. But if you spray with the repellents, that is what they call predator urine. That's what that stuff's made out of. The repellents, if you spray with castor oil, they don't like it. There's a few things like that. Now, castor oil, I guess, could be an organic thing. When we talked about castor beans one day, how poisonous they are. I couldn't believe it because it had something to do with somebody in the news at that time. It's so poisonous, it's like, ooh, why would you even have it? It seems like, though, if you did plant castor bean plants or beans, that maybe the roots that secrete the poisons would keep them away, but I sure wouldn't want to do that around food sources.
Right.
I just wouldn't. I don't think I'd want a castor bean in my garden.
You may try fencing, but you may have mixed results with that, and you may try providing another food source.
And you can get castor bean oil at the drugstore and mix it with water and spray. And that keeps them away.
Anita, we're sorry to hear about your loss in the garden. Hopefully they've had their fill and they stay away for a while
now. And go to daffodils. I think there's something about daffodil bulbs they don't like. They like tulips and hyacinths.
All right.
Daffodils might be the safe bet and easy to grow.
Anita, we appreciate your email. Thanks very much, and good luck. We also had a Facebook question here from Jerry. Jerry says, weeds seem to grow right through my weed mat. Is there any magic I can invoke to control weeds in my vegetable garden?
Well, there is a product called Preen. Prevents weeds from growing, and once they're there, they're going to grow. Preen won't affect them. But the weeds, even the ones that are growing, grow up, develop seeds, drop them in the ground, and then that's when Preen comes into action because it prevents seeds from germinating. It also prevents your radish seeds, carrot seeds, and any other seeds that you plant from germinating. So you make sure you use the Preen around areas where you're going to plant established plants, such as tomatoes and peppers and things like that that are already growing. Mm-hmm. It'll have no effect on those. So that would be the magic way to do it. But it's a funny thing. I bought a bunch of weed barrier to put out, and the one girl at work says, I don't want to put it out because the weeds grow through it anyway, and you have a heck of a time getting them out through that weed barrier.
Yeah.
So weed barrier, you can use it. It can help. In other words, in Jerry's case, just think what it would be if he hadn't used it. He's got some weeds. What if he hadn't used it? He might have had 10 times that many.
You're suggesting a preen, though. All right.
Preen is the product for that.
Jerry, good luck, and we appreciate the call. Let's open the phones here. We have a caller on the line. And, of course, if you'd like to get in touch, you can always call us at 800-471-9264. We're opening the phones and going to Jonathan. Jonathan, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Something you said earlier about the bagworms on the pine tree, you were talking to that gentleman.
Yeah.
Remind me of a problem I have on my tree out front of my in my yard. It has these spiderwebby like worm things. I don't know how to explain
it. A worm
it,
that produces silk?
Yeah, it's like it looks like a big spider web pocket with like a ton of worms in it.
Hmm. Right, right.
I mean, what is that? How do you? I mean, is that dangerous to the tree?
I think
how do you
that's
get rid of them?
The sawfly worm, and they come out on especially on like little Japanese maples. They come out on mugo pine. That's the one that they. Hmm. I used to see them on mugo pines real bad. Again, you can get a summer oil. We've talked about dormant oil sprays, and you can get a summer or all-season oil spray and spray that plant with that. Kill them pretty much instantly, but also an organic product you can buy. It's abbreviated BT, which stands for Bacillus thuringiensis, and that's about
nicely
as,
done. I couldn't
thank
pronounce
you. That's
that.
About as good as I could do. Also yeah. known as Dipel, which is an easy word to spell because it's Dipel, D-I-P-E-L. Just like it sounds. That's an organic worm killer, and that's what it's actually made for, is just worms. It doesn't really affect spider mites, but it gets worms pretty much completely.
Hmm.
And Dipel is normally sold everywhere. Summer oil, a lot of times people don't have it because they just get the dormant oils and sell them, but I tend to only sell the summer ones because that's the all-season type. So.
Okay, where does these worms come from? I mean, are they just...
Oh, it's like where do mosquitoes come from? Where do flies come from? They just, they're in the air, you know?
Okay.
It's just like the fungus that people get their mildew and stuff. Where does it come from? It's just floating around in the air, and it just finds a good place to settle and develop, and that's what it does. And they love mugo pines and other pine trees, especially the little dwarf ones. That's where you see them. But that's what you're seeing, probably.
Is it going to damage the tree?
It'll eat it up.
They'll eat it up?
Yeah, they'll just eat it up. Yeah,
oh,
you can get rid of them so easily with Dipel. You can dust it on, or you can spray it on. Don't dust it on thick, because then it makes the plant look silly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Jonathan, very good luck. Hopefully that solves the problem.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot.
Right, yep.
All right, and thanks very much for the call. Bye-bye. 800-471-9264 is the number if you have a question or comment. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We have a bit of a situation here. We had one of our regular listeners email us earlier in the week with a kind of a complex question here, Doug.
Uh-huh.
We talked a little bit about this before the show got started. So stay with me in this. This is the email we got earlier in this week from Leslie. And Leslie says, I love listening to your program whenever I go out for lunch. And Leslie, we appreciate that. The situation is this. Mulch in a large play area is very broken down and underneath has turned to dirt. We've not renewed the mulch the last three summers. Weeds are hard to keep under control in this mm-hmm. area. What Leslie wants to do, remove the mulch, use it to fill in low spots in the yard. Number two, make the play area smaller by a third by folding a third of the weed fabric over on top of itself and on the other third putting down another layer. This would give two layers of weed fabric protection. Number three, in the newly bare area, as well as other bare weed-prone areas in the lawn, plant a lawn alternative growing 4 to 6 inches fescue mix or fescue clover mix. Sound okay so far?
I understand the question, but everything sounded good except, but go on.
Leslie has a few questions now that we've set up the situation. Will mulch, especially if I turn it over and level it with the underlying soil, make a suitable topsoil?
Will it make a suitable topsoil? Well, if it's been there a long time and it's breaking down, it is almost like a type of compost. So, you know, a composted material, and it would make a good additive to your soil. In other words, put it in and rototill it or turn it. It would work out pretty good that way, because there's nothing wrong with mulch as a as an additive, other than it usually doesn't break down very fast. But this is broken down for 3 years. So, yeah, it could be used as an additive to the soil, making your topsoil better.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. Now, you asking the questions in a specific order, so I'll wait.
I'm asking them as they come here. So, Leslie mentions a fescue mix here, and then says, can I still plant grass in the next week or so, or is it too late in the season?
Well, it's definitely not too late to plant grass, not at all. And this weather's been ideal for it, other than the really hot days. But even hot days is fine, because the key to growing grass is water. You never want to water it a lot. You want to water it often.
Okay.
Keep it moist without flooding it, or else the grass seed rolls away. But the question that she asked was, are we going to approach this?
Here's your chance to jump in. Final question. Are there any pitfalls that I'm overlooking?
Well, she's mentioning the fescue with clover. I don't know why you would want to put clover in your yard. For one thing, we talked about a play area, and clover just draws bees like crazy. So why would you want clover there? I wouldn't want it. It also could encourage deer to come around, because it's food.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, horses love it, but I doubt that they're just going to come around.
Probably not a lot of stray horses.
Maybe if you were in the
Leslie's
Outer Banks, maybe they'd show up, the stallions. But that amazes me that they're there. Anyway, I would be a little bit afraid of putting anything down with clover, especially, if you want to encourage bees, that's great. But not in a play area, because mm-hmm. we've got kids there and they will sting them. I mean, there's no question about it. So that's the only thing. But the mulch, you can double the mulch. That might help that last guy's question, you know, where he had the weeds coming through. The barrier is not an expensive thing. And if you put it down double, it should really keep the weeds away, especially if you top it off with a mulch.
Sure.
I think the moisture would still get through, and that's the key. Now, if you get too crazy with it, and it rains, and then it floods because it doesn't drain through fast enough, that would be the only downside there. But just use a grass seed in that bare area. Use a grass seed that is fescue mixed with Kentucky Blue, and you'll have a great. A great grass at some time, or it could be a rye mixed with Kentucky Blue. Rye.
Big picture, it sounds pretty
fescue
good.
Fescue would be good, because that's a good for a play area, but I'd leave the clover out.
All right. Well, Leslie, we appreciate your question here. That was fantastic. We do have about 5 minutes left in the program here. We have time for another caller, so let's open the phone and see if we can go to Jennifer. Jennifer, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question about a pest that I have in my yard. I seem to have an overabundance of slugs.
Oh, slugs. Hmm. Uh-huh.
Yes. And they're disgusting. I'm sure they're helpful, but I have a couple questions, and I'll listen off the air. My first one is, what could be attracting them? And then number two, what is the best thing to do about them? And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Jennifer.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks. You know, slugs like moist areas, moist, dark, cool areas. And so if there's things sitting around, like, say, a clay pot saucer, they generally cluster underneath that. If there's anything, leaves, they'll gather underneath leaves. So if you keep the area raked, and you don't have too many pots sitting around, they'll go away. However, you could start up a happy hour for them, because if you put saucers of beer out there, they will climb into the saucer and drown. So you can put saucers of beer out and about, And it actually attracts the slugs to climb up and jump in.
Huh, a bit of a slug trap.
Yeah, that's it. A pool party, you might say. happy hour pool party. But that's one way to get. But there's also a very simple, I love granules because they're easy to use. You can buy a granule slug bait where you simply take handfuls and just go out and sprinkle it around. And I don't know if it kills them or if it makes them stay away. But it's made for slugs. It'll say it right on the package, slug bait. And that's another thing that you could use. It's fairly simple.
Right.
But keep the area raked and free of anything lying around. They'll gather under boards and things like that. Let me address that fertilizer thing I had said earlier in the program. You know, I said something about inert ingredients. And what I meant to say was trace elements. All the fertilizers have a different amount of trace elements, and that's why I like to use different kinds of fertilizers. So if a person has two kinds at home, alternate them. Mix up a couple 5-gallon buckets and use this one time and use that one the next.
All right. We have just about 90 seconds here, Doug. A question from a caller earlier in the show left a message with us. Wanted to know, in your opinion, what's the least toxic way to get rid of dandelions?
Well, dandelions, yeah, they're tough. They're tough critters to fight. But, you know, I don't know what the toxicity that they're worried about is. Weed and feed, which people use all the time in the springtime, is a wrong thing to do. You need to use weed and feed in the fall. That's when the young baby dandelions are growing through the summer and fall. That's when they're the easiest to get rid of. So in my opinion, if you only have to apply this stuff once, do it in the fall. That cuts down on toxicity because you're only doing it once instead of doing it in the springtime when it's a total waste. You can't kill a dandelion. You can't kill out the entire crop by doing it in the spring. Fall's the best time to apply weed and feed for the broadleafed weeds because that's when all the baby ones are there. You kill them out in the fall, you don't have them in the spring.
As far as, since we are in the spring, I mean, is there anything to your mind that can be done really effectively to get rid of them now, or are we stuck, for a season?
You could get the little spray bottles of something like Roundup where you just simply go out and squirt the weed itself. And you're not treating the whole area. You're just treating the weeds. If you've got a huge, huge population of them, you're going to have to go with something like weed and feed.
A broader solution in the fall.
It's because it's a broadleaf solution. It's a broadleaf weed killer. And you apply it in the fall's the best time.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to you for calling in and for sending us your messages. Doug, thank you for being with us once again.
My pleasure.
I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM HD Channel 1 and online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. Stay with us. Fresh Air with Terry Gross is up next. It's 1 o'clock. Have a great day.